We're eating breakfast one morning, just sitting at the breakfast table, her and I, minding my own business. Said to her, you know, honey, could you pass me the butter knife? Oh. Now I'm thinking something must be bothering Buttercup. So I said, something on your mind, Buttercup? She says, I'm fat. Every married man in this room knows you can't respond to that one, boy. A twitch of the eye could get you killed right here. You ever hear your wife say she's fat, you better become Mannequin Man. And she says, we're joining a health club. Did you hear what I said? I think I heard you say you're fat and we're joining the health club. That was the wrong answer. Spoon. Joining a health club? We're lazy people. We've woken our children up to get the remote for the television. And last month, she made a cellular phone call from our driveway to me in the house, asking me to bring her her purse. What do you do with that call? Hello, get my purse. What are you, in the attic? I'm in the driveway, I'm going to the health club and I need my ID. How lazy are you? Hey, go get your mother's purse and bring it to her. Will you?
Arizona, I think it's in, was it New Mexico or Arizona, standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona. Glenn Frey, I think it's Glenn Frey, has got a bronze statue there of him on the corner on Route 66. Is it Glenn Frey? Is that statue? I think it's Glenn Frey. Yeah, I think it is. His statue of him standing on the corner of Winslow, Arizona. People take a picture with Glenn Frey. I don't know what he looks like, so it could be a statue of anybody for that matter. I'm Don Rosen, 709 WRJN Radio, hometown radio, refreshed a civic media station. Right now, we're going to talk to theater for you people who are stuck up the theater. We're going to talk about thespians in the theater. Well, actually, we have Nathan Stamper here, who's the director of the latest production at the Racine Theater Guild called Stargirl. It's not an out-of-space thing. It means like star, like movie star, like singing star type of thing.
No, right? Not even quite that. Ooh, I mean, it's actually probably more like out-of-space. Like, she's just not from this world.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
No, I mean, okay. She is from the world. It's just metaphorically, she's very unique compared to any other students. But it's a chosen name that she chose for herself.
Well, I just got my season tickets for next year as well. I go to every show. I've been going for decades. And we can't wait for Stargirl. And this opens up when?
This opens up next Friday the 12th.
You nervous?
No, I'm not nervous. I'm not the one on stage.
That's right. That's true. You're not the one on stage. The show didn't do well. The actors are all crazy. Where's Nathan? Oh, he left on... he drove out of town about an hour ago. We can't find him anywhere. Last time we checked, he had a credit card charge in Indiana, so he's out of here. Now, is this all kids in the show?
No, there's...
any adults?
Yeah, there's one adult, Rick, but they're all working really well together. But mostly, yeah, it's mostly a kid-filled cast. I mean, we say kids, but we're talking young adults, high schooler age.
Ooh, that's kids.
Yeah, it's still kids, yeah. But, you know, I work with them every day, so I'm used to it.
Yeah, okay, give us a little background, because you said you do work with kids in high school at the drama club, right?
Yeah, so I'm the theater teacher at Case High School here in Racine. This is my third year this year. And then previous to that, I worked at UW Parkside in their theater department. And then previous to that, Kenosha Unified in their theater arts department.
And with kids?
Yeah, I mean, kind of. I mean, you know, it's interesting because we say that, and they are, and they're high schoolers, but
they're kids.
Yeah, but they're knocking on the door, really, of being college level kids, right? So, my philosophy has always been to sort of hold them to the same type of standard that I would any other actor that I work with, right?
Well, and you know, when you look on TV, even the show 2.5 Men, mm-hmm. where the kid grew up on the show to an adult. But he started off as like 6 years old on that show, 7 years old, memorizing lines. And I've seen behind the scenes stuff on 2.5 Men with that little kid on there.
Yeah.
And he knew all his lines. He never had to do a retake. I mean, they laugh occasionally and, you know, it's amazing when you see a child actor, even Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of all the child actors out there. I just did a thing on the greatest child actors of all time. Shirley Temple came out number one. And she carried the movie she was in. I mean, she carried all those movies.
Yeah.
I mean, she was the star. If she wasn't there, there'd be no movie. Of course, Judy Garland was a teenager in The Wizard of Oz. She was only like 16 years old in The Wizard of Oz. You'd never know it by watching the movie. But, yeah, a lot of these kid actors. And are you watching that series now, Quiet on the Set?
No, I heard about it.
I knew what I was going to say.
Going that direction. You know, I'm interested in it. But when I have a little bit more time, I might dedicate some time to it. But yeah, I mean, a lot of stuff is coming out about child actors and how things are as they're growing up. I mean, that's a hard life to spend most of your time in that environment.
Right? Especially when people are fawning all over you.
Yeah.
I mean, you want anything. There's people to do everything for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where when I was a kid, you know, go pick up your own toys. Go do this yourself. Go do that yourself. But when you're a child actor, there are people doing everything for you. Unless you have good parents.
Yeah.
That say, you know, you're going to do your homework. You're going to clean up your room. But some parents don't treat their kids like that because they're the breadwinners in the family. Now they're bringing in all this big cash. But the show Quiet on the Set is kind of shocking to see what went on. It's on the ID channel. I think the fifth chapter comes up on April 7th. They're going to have the next chapter in that show.
They're just releasing episode by episode?
It's on the ID channel.
Oh, okay.
And so you can watch them. Somebody told me about it, and I watched it on demand, the first four chapters, my wife and I, we didn't give a little peek and then get engrossed in this thing about what went on at the Nickelodeon channel with these pedophiles there. But you know what? It doesn't last forever for most kids, and they can't handle that.
No, well, you know, it's related in a weird way, but I have a 5-year-old, and so obviously Bluey is half of our life, right?
I only know that show from going through the listings every day, and I see Bluey on there. I don't know what it is.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's a kid show, but in some ways, it's almost a love letter to parents, really. But what they did really wisely is you can't find the listing on who the child voice actors are. So they've purposefully removed their names from any publicity or credits after the show or anything to still maintain their childhood identity throughout this whole process. Because the show is obviously really big internationally. And I think that was a smart choice because now these kids still have some privacy, some anonymity that they wouldn't have otherwise. So there are some companies and production companies that are making really smart moves when it comes to that stuff with child actors.
I listen to a lot of old-time radio shows all day. From the 40s, 50s, and, you know. And there was a guy, I'm trying to dick whatever, I can't remember his name. He was an adult. He was like 30 years old, but he had the voice of a child.
Mm-hmm.
So he was used as the child actor on all these shows like Gunsmoke and Dragnet and, you know, all these, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar. He was always the child voice on there, Suspense. I think I was in his 30s.
Yeah. Yeah.
He sounded like a kid, so he was able to handle all this stuff because he was an adult.
Right.
But on radio, I mean, you didn't know. You know, I was, I read this the other day, but I knew this, and somebody brought it up on Facebook, and I hate to talk about it. We'll talk about more about Stargirl in just a moment here, but we have a whole hour, so I'm going to get to it. And there was an actor named, Bobby Driscoll.
Okay.
Bobby Driscoll was in a ton of Walt Disney movies, So Dear to My Heart, Song of the South, Treasure Island, the Walt Disney version. He was also in a suspense thriller called The Window, which was a big movie in the 50s, The Window. And he was the most sought-after actor because this little kid could act. He was great. But then he aged out of everything.
Yeah.
And nobody wanted to know Bobby Driscoll's name because He was a cute child actor, but now he's a teenager, 18, 19 years old. And of course, he turned to drugs and alcohol. And eventually he died in an apartment. I guess he was a squatter in the apartment. He just died. They didn't know his name. They didn't know who he was.
Oh.
So they buried him at Hart Island in New York, right off Manhattan. There's a pauper's grave there. And they buried him in one grave with all these bodies, and they didn't know who he was.
Hmm.
Later on, they found out, but at that time, it's too late. He's buried in this mass grave. They can't dig him out.
Yeah.
And his mother came forward and said, that was my son, Bobby Driscoll.
Hmm.
So he's in an unmarked grave at Hart Island.
They didn't move him? They still...
They can't. It's a mass grave. He's buried
He's
buried with all these other people.
Oh,
you know, they just buried them.
That's sad.
It is sad.
Yeah.
He was one of the most highest paid actors at Walt Disney at one time.
Wow.
And here he is. He died in complete anonymity.
Hmm.
You like the fact that I said anonymity?
Yeah, it's nice.
I went to college and I learned that word. 4 years of college paid off.
There you go. You got a word out of it. That's good.
So, you know, it just... That's the way it happens with some kid actors.
Yeah.
Some people grow up and became big actors, like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm-hmm.
He was a child actor on, I forget what TV show, but look at him. Look at Ron Howard.
Yeah.
Little Opie on the Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah,
six years old. He was
his daughter, too.
Yes, Bryce Howard.
Yeah.
Bryce Dallas Howard. And he was in The Music Man, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of the greatest directors in Hollywood.
Well, even recently, you got Daniel Radcliffe, right? Who's doing amazing stuff. He started really young, too.
Now he's doing stage shows.
Doing stage shows, musicals, yeah.
So it, you know, it works out occasionally where child actors do turn into adults and become great actors.
Right.
But the sad side is the other side. Paul Peterson, who was on the Donna Reed Show, put together an organization. I forget the name of it, but it's for child actors who are struggling in adulthood, and they can go to him and kind of work things out mentally and so forth and find different lives. It happens, and it's sad when it happens, but what do you do?
I mean,
you know, people need children in Hollywood, and they'll do anything to get those kids to be in their movies, and then when they're done with them, goodbye, we don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
You aged out, you know, of these roles. We're going to talk about something more positive than this coming up. I'm all depressed now. Stargirl is opening next week at the Racine Theater Guild next weekend. This weekend or next weekend?
Next weekend.
So
next
weekend,
the 12th.
Yeah, okay. I always get confused when we say next and, you know.
Yeah, this coming and next, yeah.
Yeah, this is coming. 3 days from now as opposed to. Okay, Stargirl coming to the Racine Theater Guild. One great production after another. One of the greatest I've seen. There was the last one, Now and Then.
Mm-hmm.
I had Bob Benson in here.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it for the next day or two after we saw it.
Mm.
And, you know, you get these productions occasionally that you never heard of before, and all of a sudden they change your lives.
Yeah.
And I hope Stargirl's one of those. I'm pretty sure it will be. Coming to the Racine Theater Guild. We'll talk more about that with the director, Nathan Stamper, coming up in just a moment. 719 WRJN, snow and rain mixing on early today. High near 41. Right now it's 34 degrees at WRJN.
Shadow.
722 at WRGN. Nathan Stamper's here with me, and he is the director of Stargirl at the Racine Theater Guild. Let's talk about that now. What is it about? Give us the synopsis here.
Well, we're at Mica Area High School, and we have the general student body, right? We have a few of our students, and there's this one girl who goes by the name Stargirl who shows up and sort of disrupts the status quo, if you will. It's interesting because the title of the show is Stargirl, but we joke around it actually being Stargirl, the tragedy of Leo Borlaug, because as much as Stargirl is the titular character, Leo is such an important character in that story because he's the one that has the most to change throughout, right? And in true tragic hero style, he realizes the error of his ways, but he realizes it too late. And by the time... by the time he makes that change to really accept who he is and be comfortable regardless of what anyone thinks, she's already gone. And so it's too late.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm not going to cry during this show.
No, I think it has a sad but hopeful ending. But, you know, it is more a tragedy of a secondary character, which is an interesting adjustment, right?
Because I do cry at shows.
Oh, good. Well, then that's right. I mean, an extra box of tissues for you then.
You know what it is? When I saw Les Mis on Broadway, I cried.
Yeah.
Especially at the end when the angels come back and they're in the white robes with the bride.
That's what music does for you, though, right? I mean, it evokes different types of emotions. Especially.
Did you see Les Mis?
I saw it in London.
Did you cry in London?
I can't own up to it, but yeah. But I think it had as much to do with the environment as it did the show.
Yeah, I've cried at a couple of shows. My biggest weeping was when I saw Field of Dreams, the movie.
Oh.
At the end, when Kevin Costner's father takes off his mask.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the weird thing. Like I said, I had a 5-year-old, and so whatever happened, once I had him, I cannot watch a dad movie and not lose it.
Oh, a dog movie, too.
Yeah.
I made the mistake of watching this movie. The dog. I forget the name of the dog movie. It was a couple of years back.
Air Bud.
No. And I cried, and I cannot go watch it. My wife won't watch an animal movie.
Yeah.
First movie I ever cried at was Challenge to Lassie. This is an old Lassie movie from the 1940s. I get teary-eyed thinking about it. Lassie's owner is murdered. And Lassie every night goes to the church cemetery graveyard and lays on the owner's grave. And some officer there doesn't want that dog in the cemetery. And the dog keeps coming in. And he, you know, eventually the courts get involved. What are they going to do with this dog? And Lassie comes when he hears the military trumpet sound. Lassie always runs to the grave and lays on it. So Lassie's about to be sent to a pound or wherever, and she hears the trumpet sound, and she crashes through the window of the courtroom, and they find her at the church cemetery laying on the grave, and the judge says she is going to now be the official dog of the cemetery, and as punishment to that officer, he's got to conduct tours of that cemetery. And them Lassie. And there's a line of people going 4 blocks long. And Lassie spends every night on her owner's grave.
That'd be great, except if you're in Wisconsin, you can only do that for half the year. And then dog's just going to freeze.
Right. Not Lassie.
Not Lassie.
Lassie won't do that. So this is going to be one of those shows I get teary-eyed at.
You can at the end. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely a heart to it. And that's what we've been working really hard to find, that it isn't just a surface play, that there is some serious... connections, right?
Do you find yourself, you know, when you work in high schools, you work at a flat stage with the curtain coming down and the curtain coming up. In the Theater Guild...
Well, you know, what's odd is Case's high school theater is actually laid out very similar to the theater.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's got that three-quarter thrust, and then you have your proscenium that's further back on the thrust. So the layout's actually pretty similar.
People that have never been to the Racine Theater Guild, you got to go. It's not a theater in the round. Mm-hmm. It's more like a horseshoe. But there's no curtain. Everything is done right in front of your eyes, and they've got to make set changes and everything right in front of your eyes. Now they do blackouts where, you know, and then people are wearing black clothing, and you can see them, but you can't really see them. Mm-hmm. But during the show, all the props are there for the most part. The whole set's there, and the actors, it's so well done where if the actors, when I saw the Cemetery Club there, the actors are in the living room in the back, but yet when they move the front of the stage, there's a cemetery there. So the cemetery is there the whole time, but it's the lighting is so well done where you don't notice the living room anymore. You notice the cemetery, the gravestones.
Yeah. You know, and that's what we teach the students too, is that like, in film, you know what to look at because the camera tells you what to look at, right? But in theater, you're looking at it because of the staging, but also extremely because of the lighting.
Yeah, the lighting tells you where to look.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The people at the Theater Guild, I don't know who does their stage, the building of the sets.
That's Jane. I'm going to mispronounce her last name, so I'm sorry, but Jane Schnirk, I think. Schnirk? I'm sorry, Jane.
Jane?
Yeah.
It's amazing how they do that because it looks so complicated. It looks like they took years to build this thing, but it's not. Even when they did Sweeney Todd, they had to build a trap door above the stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that.
And it was so good. I'm so amazed by what I see on stage at the Racine Theater Guild.
That's half of what we do, is we make things look like other things, right? And just don't look on the back side of it, and then you'll see all the...
And they have to rebuild that stage every time, the actual flooring. It must be 30,000 layers of paint.
There, you know, that's always fun when you completely tear apart a stage and you see the levels and layers of paint that build up over time.
Yeah. I love that place. And you know, I grew up going to Broadway shows. I'm from New York City, and I grew up going. My parents always took us to Broadway shows. And never been to a Broadway play, though. I've been to Broadway musicals all my life. And I got to tell you something. The Racine Theater Guild, the acting there is on par with anything I've ever seen on Broadway. I mean, these actors there. I mean, we had Bob Benson in here. Mm-hmm. And I told him, you're on par with anybody I've seen in the Broadway musical.
That's nice, yeah. I mean, well, I think Racine doesn't fully realize the gem that they have, at least as far as performing arts goes. In cities our size, we have a number of opportunities for people to watch live performing arts. And that's incredibly common.
I just renewed my season tickets for next year. Going to be a great season, too. 729, Nathan Stamper's here. We're talking about the Racine Theater Guild production, Stargirl, coming up not this week, next week.
Try and eat healthy. I drink the bottled water. I feel kind of, and it makes you go to the bathroom every 10 seconds. But, you know, I feel kind of silly buying the bottled water. Maybe I'm just too Midwestern. Every time I go in a store, I'm always like, hey, how you doing? Yeah, I know I can get water free from any faucet, but I want to pay for it. I'm just curious. Do you have any air back there? Can I buy your garbage? It is water, right? How did we get to the point where we're paying for bottled water? That must have been some weird marketing meeting over in France, you know? Some French guy was sitting there, he's like, how dumb do I think the Americans are? I bet you we could sell those idiots water. Look, Pierre, the Americans are pretty dumb, but they're not gonna buy water. Oh, yes, they are. Let's just tell the Americans the water's from France.
former police officer Eddie Money. Hard to believe, huh? Also guest starring on that song is Ronnie Spector from the Ronettes. She's doing her famous line, "Be My Baby," from the big hit singles with her then-husband, Phil Spector, who's rotted in prison. I think he's dead now. He was convicted of murder. Strange world we live in out there. 738 WRJN, hometown radio, refreshed, a civic media station. With me is Nathan Stamper, director of the new production Stargirl at the Racine Theater Guild. How'd you get into all this stuff? Where do you love a theater come theater. From?
Well, so in this part of the reason why I have a love for educational theater is I took an acting class in high school because I needed an easy art credit. I loved math, and I didn't want to sing. I didn't want to play an instrument. I didn't want to paint. And I thought, oh, I'll just take an acting class. I can get that art credit out of the way. That'll be nice. And I kind of fell in love with this environment where anybody can be anybody, and they just sort of accepted you for the weirdness that you had. And so it was sophomore, junior year in high school. Then I found out you can go to college for this, which, you know, is still questionable whether that was the best decision I ever made. But I think in the long run, it turned out that way. And I ended up going to college by accident because I was a first generation college student, and I got accepted to Parkside, and I took a tour. And at the time, you showed up into a room and you put the classes you were interested in. And I thought I was just filling out like a survey about classes I might like. And at the end, they printed me out a schedule. And they said, well, here you go. And I went, well, guess I'm going here now. But it turned out really well. It was a fantastic theater department where I made lifelong friends and colleagues. I met my wife. I made a strong connection with a number of theaters that I've worked with and since then. And it sort of changed who I was. So it's that idea that you don't always get to choose the doors that open to you, but you get to choose whether you walk through them or not.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah, you like that?
You don't get to choose. Let's say
that
again.
You don't get to choose the doors that open. You get to choose whether you walk through them.
I like that. You know, every day my wife and I send a thought for the day to each other.
Mm-hmm.
She had to work early today, so I didn't get her thought. Then I write a thought for the day for her. Oh, I love that.
Steal that. You can coin it.
We don't get to choose which doors open, but we get to choose which doors we walk through.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean,
I'm going to call you tomorrow because I know I'm going to forget that. Nathan, I got it. Wait a second. My wife wants to. Now, how'd you say that again? I'll listen on the podcast.
Well, I'll give it to you for free today. Tomorrow, I'll have to charge you for it.
Oh, what are you, BMI ASCAP CSAC guy? I got to pay for the rights of this stuff. Did you make that up?
I think so. I don't know. I mean, if you didn't, it's somewhere in the past in the back of my brain somehow.
So I wanted to get involved in drama in high school.
Yeah.
And we had a great drama teacher. Nick Vaccaro, of course, I didn't call him Nick then, but Nicholas Vaccaro, he was really good at this stuff, and he got along with the kids well, but he was a good director. He was mm-hmm. like the director you see in the chorus line sitting in the audience. Come on, 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. And we did plays. We didn't do musicals. We did plays, and I tried out, and even by my standards, it was awful. It was really bad, but I wanted to be involved, so yeah. I became the stage manager,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, managed the stage, then the lighting and stage. I did all of that.
Yep.
And I did that for 3 years in high school, and I had a good time. I mean, I really did. I knew I couldn't act.
Yeah.
So I let everybody else do what they do, and I did that. And for 3 years, I worked with Mr. Vaccaro. Now, I saw his picture recently, and I'll tell you where I saw this picture. Are you familiar with the Gilgo Beach serial killer? This was all over the news.
I mean, it's probably a good thing that I'm not, but...
Well, 2020 in Dateline did a whole thing on this guy, and it was all over the news the end of last year. This guy from Massapequa, where I'm from, he was a serial killer. He killed at least 4 women they know of, could be more, and he was an architect in New York City, Manhattan. They arrested him and charged with all these crimes. And when 2020 did the report on ABC one night, they showed a picture of him in high school, and there he was with Nicholas Vaccaro.
Hmm. Oh, man.
He was in the drama club with Nick Vaccaro.
Wow.
And I'm looking at this picture. As a matter of fact, I have my phone. I'll show you later during the break. And there he was. And I said, this guy only lived 10 blocks from me where I lived.
So you could have gone either way then. You could have gone to radio or serial killing. You just had that choice, right? I mean, yeah, thankfully, you chose well.
The door. But this guy was, whoa. Now, he was a little younger than I was, but he didn't go to high school the same year that I did. But wow.
Yeah.
To have a high school serial killer in your high school. And he was with Mr. Vaccaro because he was in the drama club.
Well, I mean, I think I can honestly say I don't think any of our students are serial killers.
No.
But, I don't know what they do behind closed doors. So
did you ever, you never acted, though?
No, not professionally. No, I spent most of my time in educational theater and then theater.
Are you a teacher now?
I'm a teacher now.
So what do you teach? You teach?
I teach theater at Case High School.
Oh, you do teach theater. That's a course. Yeah. When I went to college, I went to Hofstra University. And I took a course in, I know it wasn't theater, but I took a course where you were required to go to some of the productions from their theater company. And Hofstra had a big theater. I mean, it looked like a Broadway theater. And they put on The Fantastics.
It's a good show.
I loved it. I mean, I loved it. It's the longest running show in the history of Broadway. It's like 40, 50 years it's been running off Broadway, not on Broadway, off Broadway. And I said, wow. This is great. And I was a teenager at the time. Now, I had been to Broadway shows growing up. My parents took me to Hello, Dolly, 1776, 42nd Street. I went to Miss Saigon, went to Les Mis, went to Godspell off-Broadway. That was the only off-Broadway show I ever went to. And I was surprised because at intermission, the actors came up and offered wine or grape juice to the audience. You know, it's off-Broadway. It was in the
70s.
Everybody was hippies and so forth. Yeah. But I used to love going. The only thing I didn't like about going to, I went to a Chorus Line, too, and Phantom of the Opera. The theaters are so old there.
Yeah.
They're about 100 years old, and they haven't updated the seating, and there's no leg room.
Yeah. No, we're big guys. It's not comfortable.
You think it's bad flying on a plane with no leg room. Go to sit for 2 hours at a Broadway show, and then somebody wants to go get up out of their seat.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to get up. It's not like now where they have the Barca Lounge or recliners at the Marcus Theater where you could just pull them back and watch a movie and take a doze, you know, snooze during the intermission. And they're just terrible, but the shows were so good. We saw The Wiz. Not The Wiz. Wicked.
Yep.
I just love that show.
Yeah, that's a fantastic show.
We saw it in Chicago. I saw Joseph in Chicago with Donny Osmond. I thought that was great, too. And Jersey Boys.
Yeah, you know, I saw Donny Osmond in Joseph years ago when I didn't even realize I was watching Donny Osmond in Joseph, right? When he was in Chicago for the pre-Broadway run.
Yeah, he is great in that show. You know, people, you know, don't give him credit for being a musical performer, but he is great in that show. I have the actual DVD of the one of the performances they actually put out. They made a movie out of it, but it's more of a staged, you know, movie.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I was talking to somebody who's in the movie biz, and I said, you know, it's a shame that they don't make a lot of Broadway musicals anymore. This is years ago, a couple of years back. And they said, they do. Disney makes them all the time. Disney makes Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid, Pocahontas. They're making Broadway musicals all the time, but they're cartoons. Then they started coming out with a few of them. Chicago was a big hit at the movies, won the Academy Award. But far and few between. One of my favorites they just came out with not too long ago. What's the kid with the arm? Evan Hansen.
Yeah, Dear Evan Hansen. Yeah.
I love that show. I saw the movie. Yeah. The movie is with the same people on the Broadway stage. I love that show.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's an interesting world right now post-COVID because streaming services have become so prominent.
Ugh.
And but in some ways, it's made theater more accessible. You just, obviously, just like everything, you got to find it. But we've got streaming sites like Broadway HD, National Theater at Home, and these sites have now moved towards streaming a lot of their productions because they had to do it for, you know, sustainability reasons during COVID. Well, now they're just doing it regularly. So you can still see a lot of well-recorded streamed shows that you would not have otherwise been able to see live because how many people can just pack up and take a trip to New York or London, right? Or even Chicago sometimes. It's exposure, right? And that's half of what we're doing in school with these students is just trying to expose them to as much good quality theater as possible so they can be theater sustainers as they grow up.
I think most people, once they see a well-performed musical or a show, you got them for life.
Well, there's something different between watching a movie and watching someone that you could reach out and you could touch on stage. And I think storytelling is in our nature. It's who we are as a species. And that will never change. And I think that there is something that that changes you when you watch a really great live performance with another human being on stage that you could connect with. There's a different level of connection than putting you between a screen and that other person.
What I don't think I'm going to like is Wicked is coming out to theaters.
Yeah.
Part one.
Yeah.
And then you got to wait a year for part two. What? I don't know what the purpose of that is. I think
it's money. I think generally it's money.
So
I
mean, you're going to stop at intermission and then wait a year for the intermission to be over.
Well, they get to sell two tickets to people now instead of one.
I'll pay twice, but give me the whole movie. I don't want to. And I've seen the show, so I know the whole basic plot of it. But that's terrible. They're doing that now with Tom Cruise made a movie not too long ago. Mm-hmm. They're part one and two. They're doing that now. They wait a year. You'll see the rest of it. Well, what if I'm not alive?
Right. Right.
I'll go to my grave not knowing what the ending is.
And it's hard because it's not the same as live theater, right? You do get the show. You get the idea of the show, but you don't get to stand there while Elphaba is being raised up by obviously a crane and her dress swoops down towards the audience and she crescendos the song and your hair pops up on your arm because you're just taken by it, right? You don't get to do that in the movie.
We saw Chitty Chitty Bang Bang on Broadway. Mm-hmm. Not the movie, but the musical. It was on a 42nd Street Theater. A car flew above the audience.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what that was like.
Back to the Future. Back to the Future, musical.
Yes, they're doing that too.
Oh, my God. I saw that in London. It blew me away. I didn't want to see it, but my friend told me I should.
They're flying stuff.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, the whole time I'm thinking, what if it comes down?
Yeah.
It's right above my head. I'm a dead man. Nathan Stamper's here, and we're talking musicals, we're talking shows, and we're talking Stargirl coming to the Racine Theater Guild. Keep it right here, WRJN, a Civic Media station, hometown radio, refreshed at 7:49. Director of Stargirl opening up next Friday at the Racine Theater Guild. What's it, the 12th you said?
12th, yep, the 12th.
And I was telling him this was the first song I ever played on the radio. The Outsiders, Time Won't Let Me. Never forget your first girl. That's the first song I ever played. Did you see Hamilton?
I have not seen it live. Obviously, I've seen it through Disney Plus.
Somebody gave me a copy of it through Disney Plus.
Yeah, and I mean, that's that... It's tough, right? Because you go online, if you try to get tickets, you're talking a couple $100 or so, right? And if a theater goer such as myself takes pause with that price, I can't imagine what general public does. And like, well, I will just go see a movie, right?
I hated it.
You did?
I didn't like
it
at
all. Not your thing?
No, I went with such great expectations. My brother saw it on Broadway and loved it.
Yeah.
I saw it on the Disney Plus thing and I just didn't get it.
Yeah.
I didn't like the rap music in there. You know, there's an old axiom. If you leave the theater humming a tune, you got a hit show.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hum any tunes.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, it's different people, different shows, right? Like or dislike the style, Lin-Manuel Miranda has really changed the direction, I think, of musical theater in general and brought a lot of young children interested in it again, which was nice.
I think Andrew Lloyd Webber changed it for good.
Yeah,
he took
absolutely.
The dialogue, no dialogue in his shows.
Yeah.
You know, no dialogue. We just saw recently, Joseph, I had some people over mm-hmm. who watched Joseph, and they said, no talking, is there? No. There's no spoken words in all of Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
It's all sung. Same thing with Les Mis mm-hmm. and all the other shows he did. There's no talk. So he changed it. He made him opera.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Phantom of the Opera, there's no talking. So he kind of changed it for good. There was something I was just going to say to you. And now I forgot what it was. It said Hamilton. I got to backtrack here. Hold on. Hamilton. This is what happens when you get old. If you don't, I write it down. I write everything down on the piece of paper. I didn't write this down. I was going to say something before Hamilton, and that just stuck in my head. We were talking about Dear Evan Hansen. I love that. I can't think of what I was going to say now. So you're doing Stargirl.
Yeah.
Is this your first Racine Theater Guild production?
No, this is my fifth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this is my fifth.
Name your others.
All right. So the last one I did was just before COVID hit. We opened in January. In February, obviously, 2020 is when it really developed worse. But it was on Golden Pond.
Okay.
And then before that, some of the shows were Exit Laughing, One Slight Hitch, and Things My Mother Taught Me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
For a while there, I was sort of doing the slot every now and then in January, February, because that worked best with my schedule. But now I was thankful to come back because it's a lot harder now when you teach in a public school to find extra time in the evening to direct at a place other than your school.
Do you ever drag kids from your high school?
Well, actually, two of them from Case are in this show.
Look at you.
Yeah, so
all right.
Two students are from Case. One is homeschooled, and another is from Horlick. And then the fifth one is from Muskego. Travels all the way from Muskego.
Mr. Ziegfeld here bringing.
Yeah.
Oh, I know what I was going to say to you.
Yeah.
You mentioned ticket prices. That was what I was going to say. When I first started going to shows, my mother saw Funny Girl on Broadway with Barbara Streisand. Tickets, $4.
Yep.
Yeah. I remember when he saw Hello Dolly, and it was $7 to see Hello Dolly.
Mm-hmm.
And then take it $8. Now, when we saw Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, it was $125. And now, that's cheap.
Well, that's why I go to London instead of New York, because the ticket prices are so much cheaper in London.
So it's worth
that it's cheaper
out.
Just to fly and pay that money up front and then pay for the tickets at less than 50 or 75% the cost of New York tickets.
And they're filling up theaters with that kind of price.
Yeah they are. They are. But they also have a lot more sustainable support and funding.
Now, what I do is on my phone, I've got, you've heard of IMDb.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a Broadway version of that.
Is there?
Oh, yeah. I got it on my phone right here. The Broadway version is called, hold on a second here. I'm not quick on this stuff. Okay, IMDb is the IBDb.
That makes sense.
It's the Broadway version. And also, I have the grosses, the Broadway grosses. I look at this stuff. I don't know why I look at it. It doesn't affect me at all. But they list all the grosses, and Broadway grossed just last week alone $37 million.
Yeah. You know, that was tough when we came back from the pandemic, and theaters really needed help. And it's true that it's nice to see these big shows, but the theaters that really needed help were not those giant big name shows, big name theaters. It was community theaters. It was regional theaters. It was educational theaters, because that's where all of that start. And if we don't support these smaller venues, we don't support the bigger venues. It just takes longer to find that out.
The show Enemy of the People. I've seen the movie with Steve McQueen in Enemy of the People. That's at 103% capacity. And people say, how can that be? How can you sell 103%?
People standing in the back.
Standing room only.
Yeah.
They actually have, when you go to a Broadway theater, the back of the theater has like a, not a desk. It's like a thing to lean on.
Yeah.
And they have seat numbers on them. So you can buy standing room only. That's how they sell 103% capacity for the week. And that's amazing. And Juliet is also at 100% capacity.
Yep, that's not surprising.
I don't even know what that's about. But
Well, I was part of a crowd that stood and watched Romeo and Juliet at the Globe for 3 hours. So standing happens. It's not the most fun, but it's an option.
All these shows are at 100%. There's a few that aren't, but most of them are at 100% or more capacity. Broadway must be doing great now.
Oh, yeah. No. They don't need our help.
They're not going to dollar stores.
Nope, they're good.
Well, that's just great. I can't wait to see Stargirl. My tickets are for... I generally go the last weekend in on a matinee on a Saturday afternoon. As you get older, you want to go to the matinees. I only fell asleep during one show. It wasn't at your theater. It was at the Fort Atkinson Theater.
Oh, sure. The Fireside.
The Fireside. Yeah. We saw Thoroughly Modern Millie on a weeknight. And I was doing mornings at the time. So it was a nighttime show. And we went there, and the show was great. It's just I was so tired.
Yeah, and you just had a big meal.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I know. That's
they feed you there.
So, yeah.
And I dozed off, and I just said, oh. Nathan, I can't wait to see the show. Stargirl.
Yeah.
Tickets are still available.
Still available.
At the Racine Theater Guild. And after Stargirl, the final one of the season, Cabaret. You can't miss with a good Nazi musical. And Cabaret is that musical. And I can't wait to see it. And do you stay for, what, the first show you're, you stay as director?
Yeah, my contract's for the first show. And generally, then I'm done. I sometimes like to come back towards the second weekend and see how it's developed without me, because that's part of the experience for them.
They changed everything.
Yeah, well, sometimes that happens.
All right, I'll catch you tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. I'm Don Rosen. Stay where you are.